The Gateway Mall looks to get out of the shadow of City Creek. A couple of Utah airports will feel the effect of federal spending cuts. And Bishop John C. Wester of the Catholic Diocese of Salt Lake sits down with KUER's Dan Bomas. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Monday, March 25th. I'm Brian Grimmett. As City Creek Center celebrates its one-year anniversary Friday, the nearby Gateway Mall is standing its ground and making new investments. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
The Gateway has lost about a dozen stores to City Creek Center, but Gateway's general manager, Scott Bennett, says the outdoor center for shopping, dining, and entertainment is doing just fine.
We lost some tenants as we expected, but I think that's part of a growing vibrant downtown. But I think it's a positive for all of downtown. Over the last 12 months, we've opened up 9 new retailers. We've had 2 retailers who've expanded their space. And we've recently announced some renovations that are going to be doing on the project.
A $2 million investment aims to enhance the Gateway's ambiance and image as a community gathering spot with more seating areas, fire pits, upgraded fountains, renovated parking facilities, and a new paint job for the Grand Hall and the Railroad Depot. Bennett says these upgrades support what the Gateway already has to offer.
With the Clark Planetarium, Discovery Gateway, the Megaplex theaters, there's a lot to offer and bring people down. We're just trying to create a great atmosphere for them to be here.
While there are still some empty storefronts, one of them has been occupied by a new gallery showing contemporary local art. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The Federal Aviation Administration announced Friday that air traffic control towers in Ogden and Provo will be closed, leading airport managers in the two cities to voice concerns of safety. Provo Municipal Airport Manager Steve Gleason says air safety remains the top priority. He says, however, with the extra traffic from the state's largest flight school at Utah Valley University flying out of the Provo Airport, it's going to be a challenge.
If you take a really busy intersection and you have 65% to 70% first-time drivers, and then you remove all of the traffic signals and road signs and paint on the ground, you're going to have a more dangerous intersection than you would otherwise.
The FAA said the Ogden and Provo air traffic control towers are among 149 that will be closed beginning April 7th. The airports will remain open, but pilots will be left to coordinate takeoffs and landings among themselves over a shared frequency on the radio with no help from ground controllers under procedures that all pilots are trained to carry out. The two are on the list of 238 facilities with low traffic volumes that were being considered for closure by the FAA.
Utah's Catholic bishop, John Wester, was out of town when the church elected a new pope in Rome. He's had a lot of people ask about it since, and that also afforded the opportunity to talk about a number of other issues involving the Catholic Church in Utah. On Friday, I asked Bishop Wester what he's learned about Pope Francis since the conclave.
I've learned that he's a man who lives simply, who's, obviously lives by very gospel values, that he doesn't seem to be caught up in a lot of the trappings of office, but what cares more about living the, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and having a very strong and obvious care for the poor, and not just the financially poor or people who may be homeless, but for anybody who's in trouble, anybody who's in need. I mean, I think he has a broader sense that all of us as human beings are poor. We're all needy in one sense or another and dependent on a loving God, and that God asks us to reach out to those poor, and he seems to do it very beautifully.
When the new pope was announced, you were in Washington, D.C., at a meeting of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, I guess a committee meeting that was going on there. What was the agenda there, and what did you bring back with you from that?
Well, we go back periodically for different meetings. Our conference is run by committee, basically, and so I was back for a committee meeting on laity, marriage, family, and youth, and also immigration, and also Catholic Relief Services. Of course, right smack dab in the middle one of our meetings, the Pope was elected. So needless to say, I was the chair of that committee, and I lost my audience immediately. So we all I was in the same mind. We wanted to watch see the Holy Father. We also had an opportunity to meet with a White House representative who is President Obama's lead advisor in immigration, and we also had a chance to meet with Secretary Napolitano, and to bring some of our concerns to her and to work with, see if we could work together in some areas with immigrants and especially with the low-risk detainees who have been released, and if we perhaps could offer some way of assisting in that. So,
is the church hoping to influence, to guide the national conversation on immigration, and what positions are you taking there?
Some of the positions that we're taking are that we understand the government's desire and right and need to identify those immigrants that we want to promote coming to our country, for example, in IT or such things. But we also would like the government to prioritize the importance of the family unit, and not to separate families. So now we have people waiting, you know, inordinate amount of time to get their status, and often they're separated from their loved ones because of that. Or persons are deported when they could stay in the country and when their cases are being adjudicated. So we're hoping for family unification. We're hoping to give immigration judges more authority that Congress has taken from them little by little so that they can adjudicate the cases, because they're right there and they see the families. We're hoping as well to provide status for the immigrants that are undocumented who are here now, and to get a path to earned citizenship. And so these are some of the things that we're encouraging to be part of this package. It would appear that the so-called Gang of Eight has these same matters in mind. Cecilia Munoz from the White House assured us that the president has these same values in mind, and that our Republican and Democratic congresspersons have these values in mind. So these are all encouraging signs to us. But of course, the rub is, you know, putting all this into some kind of a bill that everybody can get behind and pass. So it appears that we're getting very, very close, and I'm just praying that that'll become a reality.
What is it that I'm not talking about that you think should be top of the agenda?
Well, to me, there's so many issues that are out there. And, of course, people ask me, you know, why is the church making comments on these matters? For example, gun control or the Affordable Care Act and how this Utah, whether we accept the federal money or not, and Medicare and all these issues. And, of course, for us, there has to be a connection with something with faith and morals, because otherwise we wouldn't get involved, obviously, as a church. But we make these statements because we care about people and because we see that they do affect people's lives. So, for example, we hope that we'll accept that money for Medicaid, the state's end of it, because it will help thousands of people. And we don't deny that, you know, yes, there is. It's true that charitable organizations can give people the help they need, but these federal dollars for Medicaid for the state to accept would be so helpful for people.
What has your relationship been with the leadership of the LDS Church, and how have you been able to work productively with them? On the other hand, have there been issues that you needed to deal with there?
I came to Utah in 2007, and it's been my distinct pleasure to have made very wonderful friendships with the leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and to work hand in hand on a lot of mainly humanitarian projects. So it's been a steep learning curve for me, but it's been a very happy one. And I really appreciate the good that the LDS Church does. And of course, the Catholic Church is a minority, but we benefit greatly from living in a state where religion is respected, where religion is important to people, and where there's a certain sense that religion has its proper place in our society.
John Wester is the bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Salt Lake City. Dan Bomas, KUER News.
Governor Gary Herbert has signed legislation aimed at filling a revenue gap left by an unprecedented exodus of students on Mormon missions. The bill allows public colleges and universities to offer in-state tuition to high-performing students from other states. Enrollment is down this spring at nearly all of Utah's colleges and universities. Authorities say a Chevron fuel spill near a northern Utah bird refuge is much worse than originally thought, as up to 27,000 gallons might have leaked. Federal officials say a split in a pipeline that carries fuel from Salt Lake City to Spokane, Washington, is suspected of releasing diesel fuel into soil and marshes at Willard Bay State Park. Crews have removed over 21,000 gallons of spilled fuel so far, and up to 6,500 gallons might remain. Salt Lake County is in a good position to purchase land beneath the Calvin L. Rampton Salt Palace Convention Center and Abravanel Hall from the LDS Church before November 2016. The Salt Lake Tribune reports the deal is, buy it before November 4th, 2016, and the nearly 10 acres will cost the county only $6.4 million. After that, the price jumps to an estimated minimum of $21.4 million. The BLM's largest wild horse adoption facility in the country is getting cut by new federal budget restrictions. The Palomino Valley National Wild Horse and Burro Adoption Center north of Reno is scaling back its weekend operations in a move criticized by horse advocates. Beginning April 6th, the facility will be open to the public just the first Saturday each month. It currently is open every Saturday. A campaign is underway by Mormon feminists who want to see women allowed into the priesthood. A website and Facebook page have been dedicated to ordainwomen.org, and a Salt Lake City-based foundation is holding panels on the topic. Mormon Church spokesman Michael Purdy issued a statement saying the church follows a pattern set by the Savior with priesthood ordination. A 22-year-old West Jordan man was killed yesterday while attempting to swing from the now-famous Corona Arch. The Deseret News reports Kyle Stocking died after hitting the ground while swinging from what has become known as the world's largest rope swing. The arch has gained widespread notoriety in recent months with 17 million views on YouTube. The Grand County Sheriff's Office says the group on the swing yesterday had miscalculated the length of the rope. And finally, a Northern Utah Police Department is reviewing its policies after an officer was accused of showing favoritism to a police chief's wife. Logan's Herald Journal reports North Park Police Chief Kim Hawks says Officer Lance Wilkinson prevented a speeding ticket issued in October from being put into a record system after learning he had ticketed Logan Police Chief Gary Jensen's wife. And that is your KUBR News Pod for Monday, March 25th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.